energy and climate policies in the Evers administration here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The governor announced earlier this month that the state of Wisconsin would join the U.S. Climate Alliance. Governors from 21 states, with Wisconsin now in the mix, working to cut greenhouse gas emission targets set in the Paris Climate Agreement over the next 6 years. We're looking at this development and other energy-related policies we're seeing early on from Governor Tony Evers. What are your thoughts on Wisconsin entering the U.S. Climate Alliance? What impact do you see on business and environmental policy? And what do you see as the biggest environmental problems facing Wisconsin today? What should the governor do about it? We're at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts as Wisconsin enters the Climate Alliance? Do you think it could lead to a positive step forward for environmental policy in the state, or do you think it's more of a symbolic political move? Do you agree or disagree with increasing renewable energy in Wisconsin and moving away from coal power plants? You can send your thoughts to ideas at WPR.org. You can call us at 800-642-1234. We're working on getting our guest on the phone right now, as we do have some phone issues. David Strifling is an adjunct professor of law and director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative at Marquette University, and he's going to be joining us in just a moment as we look at environmental and energy policy during the Governor Evers administration. Do you live in Milwaukee in a building with lead pipes? Has your family been affected by unsafe drinking water? And how do you hope that will change? What do you want to see out of policy in the Evers administration? What do you think needs to be done? You can join in the conversation. Email ideas at WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Perhaps you live in or near Mount Pleasant. Do you have concerns about environmental regulations and Foxconn and what that could mean in your community? You can join in as we talk about environmental regulations and energy policy under the Governor Evers administration ahead of his full budget rollout, which is expected to come tonight. And Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television are carrying it live at 7 o'clock this evening here on WPR. You can tune in for Governor Evers' budget address. And in that budget address, we are expected to hear energy and environmental related issues come out in that budget. And what do you want them to be as Wisconsin enters the U.S. Climate Alliance, joining 20 states and Wisconsin now making it 21, working to cut greenhouse gas emission targets set in the Paris Climate Agreement over the next 6 years by 2025. What about this development? We're looking at this development and other energy-related policies we're seeing early on from Governor Tony Evers. And as you think about it, what do you want out of the Evers administration? Let's go to Dave Strifling now. He's an adjunct professor of law and director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative at Marquette. Dave, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Good to be with you again.
What do you make of Wisconsin joining the U.S. Climate Alliance?
I think it's very important symbolically. You know, it's a group of governors that are committed to implementing the targets that the Obama administration established and joining the Paris Agreement that I think you were just referencing. Carbon emissions cuts of 26 to 28% by 2025 against the 2005 baseline. But I think the details are vague as yet as to how the governor proposes to actually meet those goals. Part of it, of course, is subject to market forces that may be beyond his control. And, of course, he's got, I think, something of an obstacle in dealing with the Republican-controlled legislature. So it'll be interesting to see what he says in the budget address tonight about exactly how he's going to go about doing this, but I think it's an important step, as I said, symbolically.
Well, as you say here, there are headwinds. The U.S. withdrew from the Paris Agreement in June of 2017. What can these governors do from these 21 states to meet these emission targets and to kind of override some of these other things that are coming up against the Paris Agreement?
I think in the case of a governor like Governor Evers, who is in a state with divided government, you know, he does have certain powers. He's got the power to issue executive orders. He's got appointment powers. He's just appointed a new secretary at DNR, Preston Cole. He's got one of the most powerful veto pens in the nation. He certainly has control over the budget to the extent that the legislature goes along with it. But in terms of actual enforceable emissions cuts, I do think it's going to be a bit of an uphill struggle just because of the fact that I don't think the Republicans in the Assembly and the Senate will go along with it. So there are things he can do and things about the atmosphere of the state government that he can change. For example, things like restoring climate to the DNR website and public information that's out there and available. But I do think it's going to be a bit of a struggle, and I look forward to seeing how he proposes to address that.
And Wisconsin is about halfway toward its goal at the end of 2016, well before Governor Evers took office. What have we seen impacting this significant drop in carbon emissions here?
I think it's a broad transition in our energy generation system. We're seeing what some would call grid parity reached in some regions, meaning that the prices for renewable generation, wind and solar, are falling, and the price for coal-generated power is rising due to the cost of keeping some of these aging plants in service and increased regulation. So we're seeing things like Wisconsin Utilities, We Energies, and Alliance establishing 80% cut targets from 2050 against the 2005 baseline. And there's still a lot of those aging plants left, but things like switching to natural gas, you know, which has half the carbon emissions as coal, this is just a broader market shift that no governor or legislature has control over. It's driven by economics. And the other thing I think is that ESG, meaning environmental, social, and governance trends, are just becoming top of mind for some investors. And so for an investor-driven utility, we're seeing them embrace some of these trends as well.
Talking with Dave Strifling, an adjunct professor of law and director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative at Marquette University, looking early on at Governor Evers' administration and what we might see in terms of environmental and energy policy coming from this new administration. Dave, you know, Governor Evers has said that he will press for greener energy sources to reach the Paris Accord goals. You know, how can, and he has also said publicly he's really concerned about climate change. He's really concerned about for his grandchildren. What might it look like here in Wisconsin as we look at what options are on the table for greener energy sources?
And I think he's right. You know, all of the polling I've seen has been to the effect that the public does favor more action on this topic, even if it comes at the expense of some economic development or economic impacts. I think if it does happen, a lot of it will be in the form of wind, expanded wind farms. Wisconsin is well situated for that. Obviously, we're not Arizona, and so the impact of solar is a little bit less here than what it could be in other parts of the country, but I think what you'll see is decisions by utilities to retire aging coal-fired power plants, like, for example, the Pleasant Prairie plant in Kenosha County that We Energies just retired, and instead to invest in some of these more renewable forms of energy. And exactly how that plays out, whether it's a shift to natural gas or going all the way to wind and solar, I think is difficult to predict, but I would be very surprised if we see any more coal-fired power plants being built in Wisconsin.
Is Wisconsin still heavily reliant, though, on coal and other traditional energy sources that are large sources of carbon emissions?
It is, and no doubt that's true. I think, you know, when we look at passing some of these regulations, even going back to the passage of the Clean Air Act, the thought was that those plants would reach the end of their useful lives and be retired as the transition happened to more renewable forms of energy. That has taken longer than I think anyone anticipated, including the drafters of the Clean Air Act. But it is happening, and again, a lot of it is due to market forces that that really are driving this shift to grid parity to renewables.
When we look back at this U.S. Climate Alliance, you know, what strikes us as here is a lot of the governors involved are Democrats. To what extent is this coalition of governors basically a political move?
Well, I think there may be something to that. There are a couple of Republicans in the Climate Alliance. I think Charlie Baker of Massachusetts is in, but you're right. This certainly has become a partisan issue, a political issue, and that's unfortunate because it seems to me when broader polling is done on this question, a lot of the public does support climate action. Now, if the Climate Alliance does turn out to just be a Democratic advocacy group, you know, that's, I think, would limit its impact. But to date, I don't think that has happened, and really, it's just something that's aligned behind achieving the goals of the Paris Agreement, and I hope that can become something that's a nonpartisan issue. We're certainly not there yet, but maybe we'll get there.
Looking at energy policies under the Evers administration with Dave Strifling as our guide. He's an adjunct professor of law and director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative at Marquette. Governor Tony Evers says he'll pursue greener sources of energy. What does that look like to you? Do you live in or around Mount Pleasant? Do you have concerns about environmental regulations around Foxconn? Email ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're exploring energy and environmental policies under the Evers administration. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Good morning. Noteworthy to say that Governor Tony Evers hasn't set out specific plans that he will make on environmental and energy policy. What we do know is Wisconsin will be part of the U.S. Climate Alliance, and we will get a better sense tonight after his budget address at 7 that he will be covering live right here on WPR. What do you want to see come out in energy policy? What are you watching and following around environmental law? You can email ideas at WPR.org, call in at 800-642-1234. Dave Strifling is an adjunct professor of law and director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative at Marquette University. Let's go to the phones now with Tom joining us from Port Wing. Tom, what's on your mind here?
Well, I was wondering what the environmental impact is of solar panels and windmills. I know they don't grow out of the ground like mushrooms. And what is their life expectancy?
Good question. Dave, what do we know about solar panels and windmills and their impact on our energy?
So the big thing, obviously, is that they're going to have much less in the amount of carbon emissions as compared to coal-fired or natural gas plants. But what I gather from Tom's question is that he's thinking of other sorts of environmental impacts that solar panels or windmills can have. And certainly some of them come with a larger water footprint in their generation and use than some coal-fired or natural gas plants would have. And with windmills, of course, you have things like impacts to birds. But all in all, I'd say the environmental footprint of those sorts of technologies is significantly less than coal-fired or even natural gas energy generation when you look at the whole picture in terms of air pollution, water pollution, carbon emissions. Lifespan, that can vary. I can't really comment on that as a broader matter, but you know, we do see some of these aging plants being kept in service for a long, long time. I think windmills and solar panels can rival that, but it'd be difficult to make any general statements about which has a longer lifespan.
Well, speaking of water, Governor Evers declared this year the year of clean drinking water in Wisconsin. He called for state agencies to be allowed to borrow nearly $70 million. Is that adequate for the scope of the water issues here in Wisconsin?
No, it's not. But it certainly is a great first step. And it's good to see some progress being made in this area. So we're talking here about a number of different things. One is lead laterals. The replacement of lead laterals in aging cities. course, there's no safe level of lead in the bloodstream, and our water utilities are doing their best to try to make sure that that lead doesn't flake off the inside of the pipes. They're adding a corrosion control to our water supplies to make sure that doesn't happen. But it's a risk. It's a risk that we've got to face. We've got about 175,000 of them in Wisconsin. 75,000 of those are in Milwaukee, and we're looking at costs up to $1 billion or more to replace them. So $70 million isn't going to get us all the way there for sure, but it's a good start. And, you know, that's just scratching the surface in terms of our broader difficulties with aging water infrastructure that has to be replaced. Anybody that studied this could tell you that our infrastructure, whether it comes to roads or bridges or water, is in need of a lot of investment. And so this is a good first step down that path, I hope.
What kind of time frame is Wisconsin looking at to avoid these crises around clean drinking water? Does the state need to be acting immediately with how much money to help shore this area up?
Well, you know, I'm a water guy, so of course I'm going to say the answer to that is absolutely we should be acting right now. And part of that is the lead issue, although even if we replace all the lead laterals, the piping, you're still looking at some danger due to the lead fixtures inside the houses, inside older homes with plumbing fixtures. But it's not just lead, of course. It's also things like aging water treatment facilities and the recent discovery of groundwater contamination in private drinking wells in Kewaunee County in the northeast part of the state and also in the southwestern part of the state by some measures. 47% or more of private wells are contaminated with excess levels of bacteria or nutrients, and that's not an insignificant issue. I mean, we're talking about millions of Wisconsinites that depend on private wells for their drinking water, so this is absolutely something that we should be thinking about.
Let's go to Jeremy now, joining us from Racine. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. One of the largest consumers of energy would be the business sector of Wisconsin. They consume more than anything else. So what kind of incentives could our governor give to industry to green up their facilities, to reduce their carbon footprint?
Great question, Jeremy. What are your thoughts there on what would move businesses to a more greener footprint?
Well, again, it's a little bit difficult to think about what the governor can do on his own without action by the legislature. Historically, this would have been addressed by tax incentives or perhaps other incentives to get businesses to move in that direction. But I think it's unlikely that that's going to something that would pass the legislature. So the governor may have to get creative and try to think about other things that might work. Historically, what's happened in that direction is you see businesses like Walmart that have moved significantly down the road towards sustainability in their supply chain and energy generation and some of those more soft governance strategies that are driven by businesses rather than by legislation. And perhaps that's something that is a creative solution here if there's not an easy path to legislation. But it's a very valid question, and there's no easy answer to it.
And so also looking at the Department of Natural Resources, under the Evers administration, there has been a change there. There looks like there will be political changes to environmental policy and how the DNR is operating. What, as you look at the DNR, what is the significance of naming Preston Cole as the new DNR secretary?
Well, I think it's a great choice. Under the Walker administration, we had heard reports of certainly staff reductions and falling morale among staff. And I don't mean to malign the DNR here. There are a lot of good people doing good work at DNR, but I think this has the potential to revitalize the agency and sort of the energy level there. But more significantly, it also has the potential to lead to bigger budgets for the agency and perhaps more enforcement. And so when we look at how the environmental climate in the state might change, I don't foresee any major changes to the laws that govern us, but in terms of the funding levels at DNR and the enforcement cases that it pursues, both within DNR and through the Department of Justice under a new attorney general, I think that's where you're going to see the major impacts in a new administration.
Well, in our last minute or so, I want to bring this back to the Paris Climate Accord with Andrew joining us from Heartland with a question. Andrew, go ahead very quickly.
Hi there. In order to meet the carbon emission goals for the Paris Climate Accords, President Macron has been increasing fuel taxes on the French people, and now what has spurred out of that was the yellow vest protest. What are your thoughts on increasing the cost of energy on poor people in order to reduce carbon emissions?
Andrew, thanks for the call. Can you wrap up quickly about Paris Climate Accord and what we're seeing here?
Sure. So an economist would say that a tax on energy, a tax on carbon, is the quickest and most direct way to make that happen, to move the needle. But I certainly agree that that can have disproportionate effects on different areas of society. And I think that's why you're seeing some more creativity here and in other parts of the world in how we're trying to achieve those targets and making them driven by market forces rather than government intervention. There are a lot of paths to 26% to 28%, and that's where government has to exercise some discretion.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Dave Strifling is an adjunct professor of law, director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative at Marquette University. We've been looking at environmental and energy policy that we may see come out of Governor Tony Evers' administration. And you hear this conversation on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.